$10 in come the cents to replace the pounds and the shillings and the pence. Be prepared, folks, when the coins begin to mix on the 14th of February 1966.
Who are you?
And it's a big welcome to the Gadget Grill today on February the 14th, 2016, which is the 50th anniversary in Australia since the introduction of decimal currency.
No way.
Yeah,
50 years. I was wondering where that song was going.
Yeah.
50 years since we've had decimal currency.
50 years. Before that, we had pounds, shillings and pence. And I can remember listening to that promotion when I was in high school.
Me too.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
Wow, I had no idea.
It was a little dude. It was on the telly too, wasn't
it? I've got it here on a video if you want to have a look at it later.
Was it really confusing for people at that time?
No, it actually, the changeover happened very quickly.
Yeah.
And people wanted it.
Oh, really?
People wanted it, yeah. It's quite interesting because the changeover to decimal currency was announced by the Prime Minister, Bob Menzies.
Yep.
And his choice of the name for the currency, Bob was a royalist. Loved the Queen.
Yeah.
He was the Lord Warden of the Cinque Ports in England.
Mm.
And he wanted the currency to be called the Royal.
Huh?
Yeah. And that got laughed out of the country.
You mean instead of the dollar?
Instead of the dollar, he wanted it to be called the Royal.
Oh, I'm glad that didn't get through.
It was so controversial. The controversy that we had last year with Bronwyn Bishop was nothing compared to trying to call the currency the Royal.
I had no idea.
It lasted, I think, about 3 days.
Before someone said no.
Before, basically, Bob was tapped on the shoulder and said, no way is this going to fly, Bob.
I think you should rethink
it. Amongst the other things, the other names that they had, because they had a competition to name the currency.
Yeah.
And one of the suggested names was the Austral. They had a lot of things that were very jingoistic.
What's Austral?
Austral, as in Australia.
Oh, as in A-U-S-T-R-A-L.
Yeah,
Austral. I was thinking Austral like nostril without the N.
Well, I'm glad you went there, Jeff, because what happens if you have 14 Australs? Say it.
14 Australs.
Try it again.
14 Australs.
Ah, yeah.
40 nostrils.
That's right. Now it gets really confusing. I have issues to pick there.
Absolutely.
So, yes, it's 50 years since...
50 years since decimal currency was introduced into this country.
Well, good on them.
As I said, the actual conversion didn't take that long because it was easy.
Yep.
People were well informed beforehand because of things like that jingle that I just played.
Yep.
And today, what do we have? Don't ask.
I don't know where we're going.
Welcome to the Gadget Grill. Jeff, what have you been up to this week?
I've been eating a whole lot of meat this weekend.
I heard.
I have been eating so much meat. I don't know if there's many animals left. Went to a meat festival and just ate my weight in lamb, beef and pork.
Be popping muscles then. Protein.
Something like that.
I noticed something coming out of your ears before you put the cans on earlier.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be that I was holding a lamb shank as if it was a chicken leg.
As you do.
At the show, and it was amazing.
Have you ever tried barbecuing a turkey leg?
They did have turkey legs there, and I've had them before. That's why I went for the shank, because I've eaten lamb shank before with a fork and knife, never actually hoed into it with my mouth. So.
Nah.
Yes.
And you do knuckles. You mentioned before we went to air the brisket.
Oh, a brisket, yeah. I had a few meals. I really had multiple lunches.
Now, what bothers me about these sort of things is they charge you $20, $30 to go into the festival.
Just to get in, yeah.
And then they charge you $5 or $10 for each plate as well, am I right?
If you're lucky.
Yeah,
if you're lucky.
Okay.
I will say the portions were very generous.
Okay.
Very, very generous, but not $5 a plate.
No.
Yeah, not looking at $15 a plate.
So it ended up like $100.
That becomes an expensive day. When you go there with your wife.
I didn't. I took my brother.
Okay.
Yeah, more of a meat eater.
So that became a $200 day.
It could have been, yeah. Truthfully, could have.
Well, you've got to have a beverage or two to wash it all down.
We did.
There you go.
We did have beverages or two. And honestly, It's the first time I've seen a festival just focused on meat. I mean, there's food festivals everywhere, right?
Sure.
But when you put such a niche festival together, you actually walk around it very quickly.
Yes.
You sort of go, I think I've covered everything. I think I've been to all the stalls quickly.
It doesn't take you long to cover that because, you know, what do they have? You mentioned they had some smokers out there, some
plenty
big commercial
smokers. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a lot. And even now, like, sort of dried meats as well and
jerky. Bit of jerky.
And like
jerky.
That.
Yeah.
So
nice.
There was one hot sauce that I tried. I couldn't believe it. I was so naive. He said, this is our hottest one. He said, but it's quite tandoori tasting. And I thought, well, I have tandoori. I can do this. So
I'll take you to this place that we go to in Enmore that does a good tandoori.
Is it hot?
Oh, yes.
So this thing, I had a small cracker and I lathered it a bit, and he goes, you're brave. I said, I like tandoori. I said, I love this stuff. Had it, first 30 seconds, I said, this is actually quite nice, very sweet, wasn't really hot.
And then
he goes, yeah, about now. And that was it. My mouth just went on fire. And he said to me, he said, you've got 5 minutes of this. He said, you are not going to feel any better for at least 5 minutes.
This is time to break out my story of Rodney in Dallas, I think.
They should have yogurt there.
That's amazing.
Cooler.
Yeah.
Amazing.
When I worked in Dallas, we had one guy who worked with us who was from Dallas, and his name was Rodney.
Yep.
Worked with us. He was one of our team leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other guys one day brought in some hot sauce.
Okay.
I like a good hot sauce. I like hot food.
Yep.
And he brought in some corn chips, and we tried it on corn chips. And there was a lady who worked with us, an Indian lady, who also liked hot food. So we're milling around in this cubicle where the guy's got the hot sauce, and we each try a little bit of it, and just a little, you know, sort of just a little dab of it onto a corn chip, and we try it, and you start off slowly and work your way up, and Rodney walks past, and what's going on here? Oh, hot sauce, okay. So he gets a spoonful, puts it on the corn chip, and puts the sauce down onto his tongue.
Genius.
And, oh, that's not too bad. Holy! And he goes racing off into his office to get some water.
I love it.
Water doesn't help.
Could not happen to a more
Didn't help one bit. I sculled a bottle of water in front of the bloke, and he's just going, nothing you can do.
No, there is yogurt.
Yeah, and he said, there's no yogurt.
He
said, nothing you can do.
Could not happen to a more deserving person.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we got a review on the show. We got a review of a Pioneer's amplifier.
Yeah.
High-end amp. We're going to talk about some security on public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Or the lack of.
Yes.
And right now, as has been the custom so far this year, last weekend saw the passing of a gentleman out of San Francisco by the name of Dan Hicks. Dan Hicks was a wonderful musician, did some very, very different stuff that verges on jazz, country swing. Very good music.
Mm.
And I love the title of this. How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away? Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on Radio 2 RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Thank you, Dee. You did that so well.
Yes.
Did we say who was on the show tonight?
We actually didn't go around and do our normal greetings.
Dee Dee Cup is here. Jeffrey is here. I'm here. Jason is
not AWOL. He's not here.
He's shuffling boxes.
He's shuffling boxes,
yeah. What's he doing that for?
I think it's like a Tetris thing.
It is, yeah. Mm. No, his flatmate's mother is moving in with them.
Yes.
Which is kind of the inverse of what normally happens. Normally the kids go back to the parents' place.
Yeah.
Here the parents are moving in with the kids.
Well, I bet Jason's excited.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is.
I love it. News.
Okay, news. Jeffrey, you want to start?
I will. Earlier this week, a major telco, had a major outage.
Funny you should say that. And, I heard that Telstra was involved in this.
It was all them. And it was funny. My phone seemed okay. My phone's with Telstra, and I didn't actually cop it. But in saying that, I don't really receive phone calls, so I wouldn't have known. But, they were actually down for a good couple of hours where people couldn't make or receive phone calls, couldn't receive emails, things like that. It was just everything died on their mobile network.
Wonderful.
In compensation, today being Sunday, they actually decided to give all their customers unlimited data. Go ahead. Download as much as you want, 24 hours, knock yourself out.
A whole day, yeah.
I'd love to know how that went for people, and I'm curious what the results are like
apparently,
tomorrow.
Apparently, their network got a little bit congested at some points during the day.
I think it would have been. My only concern is that someone at home would have said, awesome, my phone, unlimited data, I'm going to download like mad.
Yeah.
And what they did is they left their phone connected to Wi-Fi, and they did.
Except they downloaded it.
And then they used their home internet.
I know.
So I'm so curious. I'm waiting for a story to come out which says, oh, I exceeded my home plan thinking it was free.
Oh, dear.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm writing the news.
Jeffrey has nailed that one. While we're talking about data and leaving your iPhone on, there's a couple of Apple stories that hit the news this week.
Mm-hmm.
You remember last week I mentioned about the Error 53 bug?
Yeah.
The ACC. ACCC are taking this one on.
Good.
And they think that there may be an issue for them to have Apple address, and so they've asked Apple for a please explain.
Good.
So
they absolutely should, because there was quite a fair few reports about people's phones just being bricked.
Yeah, that's bad
just
news.
Useless.
Very bad, and no good reason for it. Now, while we're talking about bricking your iPhone, there is a fraud, a hoax, doing the rounds at the moment.
Surprise, surprise.
That suggests that if you set your iPhone date back to January 1, 1970, then you will get an Apple screen, an Apple computer screen type display.
No way.
On your iPhone. That's what they're saying.
And it says, and the caption to your image says, fake, 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 fake.
Well,
so you're saying that I shouldn't do this live on the show?
No, you should not do this on your iPhone.
What will
happen? Because, it'll brick your phone.
Seriously? What?
And while they're saying that it goes back to the first Apple Macintoshes, when did Apple start as a company?
No idea.
1976.
Oh, so it was lying anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So it actually bricks your phone if you try and
It will brick your phone.
Aren't there some nasty people out there?
There are some very, very nasty people out there.
Speaking of
I've still got one more.
Run them through.
This is not a nasty person thing.
Yeah.
But in Adobe Creative Cloud,
yes,
which a lot of people subscribe to.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of them.
You're one of them?
Yep.
Do not log into your Apple Creative Cloud account. Apple from your Macintosh.
You mean Apple or Adobe?
Adobe Creative
Cloud. Why?
Because it will delete files.
I only use it on my Mac.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So
Adobe Systems has stopped distributing a recently issued update to its Creative Cloud graphics service.
Hmm.
Amid reports, a Mac version can delete important user data without warning or permission.
That's good news.
It deletes the contents of the very first folder in the file system that it finds.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
I'm going to have
on a default. The default is some caching stuff that your Apple OS needs to work.
Yeah, and I'm sitting in front of my Mac now, looking really scared.
Okay,
don't go near it.
Yeah, if you haven't downloaded the update, then you're okay.
Usually, auto updates.
Yeah.
Okay. A little nervous.
Okay, your next story, Jeff.
So we had the Super Bowl in the US this week.
We did indeed.
And a certain Apple CEO was... Oh, come on.
Sorry, I like the Super Bowl. I just don't like the entertainment. The ads are wonderful.
Which we don't get in Australia.
No, we don't.
Which is great. But a certain Apple CEO was at the game, naturally.
You're not going to mention Tim Cook's name?
I can. I don't know why I didn't,
you?
Actually.
I don't know why you would.
So, Tim Cook took to the field after the game and posted a photo as he was obviously just walking around during the celebrations.
Sure. Well, it was in San Francisco, so.
The photo was as blurry as you can get. It was the worst photo I've ever seen taken.
He wasn't tired and emotional, was he?
I don't know.
Right.
Horrible photo.
Okay. Must have been taken with an iPhone.
Tweets about it. Yeah, tweets about it and gets hammered. Absolutely hammered to the point that he actually had to take the photo down.
Good.
It was that bad. And when you've got the CEO of a company that sells phones, boasts their camera abilities, and he posts the worst picture of Super Bowl.
Well, maybe he just does bad selfies.
Please explain. He's got the shakes or something. Please explain, Tim Cook.
Yeah.
Please come on the show and explain yourself.
Let's switch from Apple.
We did a Samsung. Apple then.
We did, yeah. Let's switch from Apple to Samsung.
Go for it.
Now, remember last year,
mm-hmm.
there were stories about so-called smart TVs.
Yes.
And they were recording and transmitting conversations that they heard back to their base, and everyone denied this.
And I said it was okay. I remember that conversation.
Samsung has confirmed that its smart TV sets are listening to customers' every word, and the company is warning customers not to speak about personal information while near the TV sets.
That's their own rubbish. That's their own obligation.
The company revealed that the voice activation feature on its smart TVs will capture all nearby conversations.
Yep.
The TV sets can share the information, including sensitive data, with Samsung as well as with third-party services.
Yep. Right. Completely understood.
Right.
And I still think it's okay.
Okay.
Because if you want a TV that has always-on voice assistance... It has to be listening all the
time.
Otherwise, you could turn that feature off, and I'm sure then it would no longer listen to your conversations. But if this is the thing with all this smart stuff that comes out, because mobile phones are doing it now, where they're trying to listen for you to say, "Hey Siri," or they're listening for you to say, "Okay Google," these things need to be listening 24/7.
Okay,
so Google. That's why I'm okay. However, a new streaming service is coming to Australia. Another one.
Oh. Well, like we need another one.
Another one. I think we've got three. Netflix, Stan, Presto. We're now getting HeyYou.
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 Whoopee.
So HeyYou is a reality streaming service. All of Gary's favourite shows, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. What else can I tell you? Made in Chelsea, The Real Housewives.
I'm an intelligent viewer. Get me out of here.
It's hilarious. It's going to be $5.99 a month. Coming in March, and the only reason I'm mentioning this is because compared to Foxtel, they're going to be bringing these shows at the same time as Foxtel does for their additional Entertainment Plus pack, which costs $10 a month. So if you're somebody who has Foxtel because they want to watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, saying there may be somebody listening who does, consider it, because you may be able to get rid of that pack off your Foxtel subscription and get this one and save yourself money.
I am biting my tongue.
I know, but...
I am biting my tongue.
Not everyone is as...
Why would anybody...
He's going to say, why would you spend... how much?
$5.99.
$6 a month to watch rubbish.
The KKs.
I know.
People do, and it's a huge business.
You couldn't pay me enough to watch that crap. You really couldn't.
Just saying.
Okay.
There's a market.
There's a market.
I am going to show you something on my tablet.
Yes.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Is that who is that guy?
Read the caption.
Oh, right. Do you want me to read it out loud?
Read that out loud.
Dallas Buyers Club abandons fight against Aussie Pirates.
Oh, there you go. I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's over.
They're giving up.
And iiNet have won.
And does that set a precedent, do you think?
It does set a precedent within Australia in that the predatory pricing, invoicing that the speculative invoicing regime that they try to inflict upon people is not legal in Australia.
And does it even also set a precedent because Dallas Buyers Club wanted the names and postal addresses of all their customers.
That's right.
Who were caught pirating.
Who they said were pirating. Nobody was caught pirating.
No, and that information did not get passed on either.
No.
So that really sets a precedent that those who... it's kind of a bit wrong to say it, but those who are pirating are somewhat protected by their ISP.
Well, it's not their ISP's responsibility
to do that,
to monitor what the people are downloading.
Is this a good or a bad thing?
Well, really? in some ways, it's a good thing, because the problem, as I see it, is the why do people pirate? Why do people pirate stuff in Australia?
They don't want to pay. They don't want to pay for it.
No, that's not the reason. The reason is that the distributors, the people who control this content, don't make it available in a prompt and reasonable manner at a reasonable cost.
But that's tough. It's tough cookies, mate. Like, if it's
well,
done
hanging,
that way,
they're hanging on. They're hanging on to a model that's 40 years old.
That's the law.
No, it's not the law.
At the end of the day, it comes down to it's illegal to do it. So if it's illegal, it doesn't matter what you're. Oh, I wish I had it on time. Too bad. I wish that. But the Super Bowl commercials were in Australia at the same time as they were in the US. But commercial agreements.
Well, the point
mean
is,
it's not.
The point is that they're trying to. They're trying to plug holes in a sieve.
Who is
the content owners? They're trying to plug holes in a sieve that is leaking so profusely.
Yes,
that you know the people go elsewhere to get the content. They would happily pay. The majority of people would happily pay a reasonable price for the content within a reasonable time. Why do you think Netflix is so popular? Why do you think Stan is so popular? Why do you think Presto is so popular?
I agree to a percentage. I think there would still be a huge group of people who are just downloading movies because they can and it's free.
It's not a huge group. I don't think that's a huge group.
I would love to see data on it because, I mean, that's the thing. We never get data on piracy.
That, Jeffrey, is your homework for next week.
Good luck.
Find that data. Last story from you, please, mate.
Last one from me is the announcement of a interesting partnership between Runkeeper and ASICS. So Runkeeper, who make fitness apps, are partnering with a fitness apparel company. Not the first time we've seen it. You've got Nike who do it. Adidas has done it recently as well. Under Armour does it. ASICS is finally doing it as well. Runkeeper is a good app. I'm glad they actually purchased them.
That's ASICS, the people who make the running shoes, not the ASX, the Australian Stock Exchange.
That would be a weird partnership.
I know.
That would be a weird one. But yeah, I guess the next step for this will be seeing shoes that interact with the app, because that's what Nike did with the whole Steps.
And there you go, shoes that interact with your Stock Exchange app for your trader on the Stock Exchange floor.
I love it.
There we go. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first on the Gadget Grill, where you are listening to
Jeff Quattromani
and Didi Cup
and myself, the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. This is the Manhattan Transfer and Tuxedo Junction.
And we're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and broadcasting over the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Indeed, we are. Thank you for bringing us back, Jeffrey.
Pleasure.
Okay. Now, earlier today, I sent you some homework.
Well, you sent me some reading.
I sent you some reading.
It wasn't long, I'll give you that.
It wasn't that long, but it was very interesting reading.
Yeah, it was.
Now, tell me, Jeff, when you go overseas,
yep,
how do you access the internet when you're traveling?
Okay, so I won't use CES as an example because I roamed.
Okay.
I had a roaming plan for it.
Right.
But in previous times, in Europe, for example, I looked for hotspots. I looked for free internet in any cafe. I would go to a cafe to buy a coffee knowing that they had free internet.
Okay, good.
I'm leading you down the right way.
Oh, you absolutely are.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a little portable personal hotspot from one of the American carriers. So when I go to America,
I use those too. They're good.
Mm. It costs me $50 for the time, $50 US for the time that I'm over there. That gives me 5 gig of portable data. And it's basically, I set it up and activate it a couple of days before we go. Yeah. I'm not over there for more than 3 weeks at a time.
Mm.
And it gives D&I full internet access wherever we are from the moment that we land in the US.
Yep.
What I found is that some of the services over there, if you're using a roaming from an Australian plan, that your service gets deprioritized.
I wondered that, actually. Yeah, because, I was thinking that.
Because what I've seen is with my phone that's on a roaming plan from Australia next to this Wi-Fi hotspot, this 4G hotspot from the American carrier, put them next to one another, they're both using the same American carrier. And one of them is on 4G and giving me good service, the American one is, and the Australian one is giving me a much lower quality service. It seems as though it's deprioritized, which I don't think is good. However, the point here is that I'm in control of what, of how my data is being managed. The homework that I sent you, Jeff, knowing how you've done your travel in the past, this article, and it was talking about in Europe, in the Netherlands, where this guy goes, takes this little black box and his laptop into a coffee shop, uses the free Wi-Fi in this coffee shop, and within a couple of minutes of turning on his laptop and turning on this little black box that he has, he's collecting passwords and user IDs and all sorts of things from all of the people using the free Wi-Fi in the coffee shop.
And it's super interesting how he does it.
Isn't it?
So it's so interesting. So imagine going into a coffee shop and you connect to, you know, Joe's Cafe Wireless One.
Yep.
And you've got internet, you've put the password in from the lady who gives you the password or whatever it is, and you're surfing along. What happens then is this guy comes in with this small black box, takes the name of the wireless network that's being used in the cafe, and starts broadcasting on the same name with the same password. All of the computers and things like that in the shop will automatically start to connect to him because it's saved in their computer, and as suddenly he becomes sort of the man who's in the middle of the actual internet, so they still have internet access, it's not being interrupted, but all the traffic is going through this black box.
And he can see every single thing going through.
The works.
Unreal.
Very cool.
So he's getting your password,
your
connection.
So you don't do your banking and stuff in the internet cafe, do you?
No, you don't do anything.
See, I'd be so interested to know about the banking side because if you're – I wonder how encrypted the data is from your computer to that black box before it goes out to the internet.
Yeah, but you got to put your password in to get into the bank.
But that's supposed to be SSL encrypted.
Supposed to be, yeah.
But he was the article was saying that that didn't matter. And that was, they were getting access to those passwords.
And that was the interesting passwords. Thing, is he was able to figure out, because say you go to your Facebook or say you do anything where you're putting personal information in, that's all being put through. So he may end up gathering enough information to know how to get into your bank anyway.
Well, that's right.
You know what I mean? So he was able to dictate people's full names, you know, schools that they went to, I think, that the last five sites they've been browsing to, a lot of info.
What he was getting was quite interesting because he was identifying the various sites that they'd been to, access to their email and their email password.
Yep.
So once he's got that, he can go in, change their email account password, then go to their banking sites.
Do a password reset or
Have a password reset, come back to the email address and then access their bank accounts.
It's doable.
And, of course, don't forget that with the information available on Google, where you Google a person's name, Oh, there's their person. Oh, there they are. They're sitting over there. Okay.
True.
Now we know who we're dealing with as well. And he was able to identify the people with whom, you know, upon whom he was spying.
That's really scary.
It is very scary. This guy was a white hat hacker in that he wasn't doing it for bad things. He was doing it to show you just how insecure this stuff could be.
Yeah.
But when you read that article, next time you go to Europe or to America, Jeff, what are you going to do?
I'm way too carefree, Gary. I'm going to still look for work. Because, you know, for me, it's getting my social fix. It's not – I usually don't jump on these Wi-Fi networks to do banking. And for me, it's checking Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And you know what? If they take those accounts, good on them.
Okay.
They can have my four followers.
But if they've got your email account, Jeff –
yeah.
They can then access your banking even though you're not doing the banking.
Let them have it, Gary.
Okay.
Oh, I'm way too carefree because I know that, you know, if they were to take funds from my account, my bank will cover me. Do you know, I kind of have – I know it's a hassle, but for me, I'd rather deal with that hassle than not get my Twitter fix.
Okay.
It's really disturbing.
But you can still get your Twitter fix. You just got to buy a little dongle and take it with you.
Yeah, and Europe is harder to do that.
Or use your roaming.
Yeah. Next time I could do the roaming thing, but the last time I went there, to get one of them sort of hotspot devices, Europe's a lot harder when you're jumping between countries.
Sure.
But for the US, 100%. I used one in New York when I went that time. I loved it.
Yeah.
So,
mine cost me, I think it was about $80 to buy the unit, and it cost me $50 each time on a trip now.
Worth it.
And it's well and truly worth it.
Absolutely.
Because I've got that. I charge it up overnight. We're wandering around in Jazz Fest, and I've got my own internet access with me in the terminals, airport terminals, in the hotel. Mm. I have my own personal internet access.
Yeah.
So security becomes
less of
an issue.
Because I'm always checking my account because I always spend too much.
Oh, indeed. So do I.
And if you have to use cafe internet or you're desperate to do something, make sure you're connecting to something that you know has at least been provided by the cafe or provided by the hotel. Because I always, whenever I travel, I see random ones saying free internet here and, you know, all these things. And people definitely click on them. They don't work because all you've done is give something away.
Exactly.
So you do have to be careful. If you're that desperate, still be careful.
Absolutely. Mm. This is Russell Morris.
Oh.
Wings of an Eagle.
Well, I'm looking out on an overcast sky in the morning. I can hear the warning as it calls to you. As the birds migrate and the wind is raised, I see the eagle soaring. Although I'm just a pawn in nature's game.
Everyone's pointing at me. I wonder why. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on to RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. Now,
indeed.
Jeffrey, DD, you know I love my music.
Nah.
Indeed.
And I love good sound.
Absolutely.
You know that.
Yeah, I've heard.
And there's little that I enjoy more than listening to some good vinyl through a good amplifier.
I've heard.
Yeah. We've got to get you an amplifier and your turntable set up at some point.
I was going to say.
And maybe get you some vinyl as well.
I don't have vinyl. I do now have the record player in my house.
Well, that's a good start.
It was transferred today.
Right.
that's as far as it's gone.
We've got to get you a couple of Class A eggs so you can do something with there. However, we're not talking about Class A today. We're going to talk about Class D.
Right.
And the Pioneer SC LX89.
Right.
Which is a high power amplifier for your home stereo system.
So it's just for home stereo, not for your home theatre?
Home theatre, home stereo.
Oh, it is, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Setting it up, you plug in your speakers, you plug everything in, get it set up. You plug in a microphone and you put it into setup mode and it monitors the sound. It sends tones through each of the speakers, monitors the sound with the microphone, which you put in an optimum listening position.
Yep.
And it then sets itself up so that you get good surround sound.
Isn't that cool, though?
That is a very cool feature.
Yeah.
But in this case, if you set up your speakers wrong, it tells you and it says, sorry, your speakers are wrong, I can't continue.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it won't smart.
It won't let you set it up with the speakers incorrect, which can be quite frustrating.
Start moving your speakers around the place.
Yeah. But amplifiers are getting very, very complex. This is no exception. This is a very, very complex amplifier. Yeah.
And very, very heavy.
Oh, yes. This is very heavy.
Is it really?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Transformers in it and so on.
Yeah.
But it is. The sound quality, watching the movies, listening to music, I like it.
Yeah, it's lovely.
This is absolutely the way to go. It is it is a complex piece of equipment. And in some ways, while you can't sort of kill somebody while driving it, it is probably more complex than driving a car.
Is it really?
Yeah.
And they have got so many features now too. It's not just you plug in your speakers, plug it into the telly and away you go.
Three HDMI out, seven HDMI in. Yeah.
Three out. Four.
For your game, for your, you know, for your TV, different TVs, your projector.
Oh, jeez. For projector and TV.
High power. You know, a couple of subwoofers. You've got different zones, so you can send sound to the bedroom as well as to the living room.
So I guess it could be used as your single amp for the house.
Yes.
So
internet radio. We were listening to Los Angeles radio coming through this.
That's kind of cool.
Streaming over the internet, Bluetooth.
So oh, that's can, nice. So that's handy.
Run your phone through it and out and stuff like that.
Can you control it through an app as well, I'm guessing?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. They pack it with everything now.
Everything and then some.
Yeah, and I almost feel like they need to do that more and more because you've got all these smaller products like Chromecast and Apple TV, which are cheap, but you can just plug these things into your telly. So they're trying to look at the amp and how that can bring more value, and I think
that's right.
Packing more features into it means you may not need to buy a Chromecast, for example.
Exactly.
So it's very smart.
Yep. That's the Pioneer SC LX89.
Pricey?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
he didn't have to think much before he said, and heavy, heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy on the wallet, heavy on
heavy,
the...
Heavy on the wallet. Difficult to say whether it's worth it. It depends on what value you place on good quality sound.
And that's with home theatres, right? You can buy big, expensive Dali speakers or you can get cheaper ones.
The Dali speakers are not that expensive.
They're pretty expensive.
No.
I think yours are Dali.
Mine are Dali. Well, as an example, we went in with a budget of $700-$800
to spend. You walked out with a good deal.
We walked out spending $1,500 on a full Dali surround system, full Dali speaker surround system.
I love that though.
$1,500
That's not much, it's
reduced, I know, but that's a lot of money.
Well, I've seen speakers that are $30,000
each
per driver.
I know that stuff scares me.
But they're awesome.
I'm sure they. They are.
The Dali is good. I'm impressed. And
anyway,
speaking of impressed, Dee's going to be impressed with my choice of next song.
Am I?
Yeah. This is from the 60s.
Oh, goody.
Ray Brown and The Whispers.
All right.
And 20 Miles.
Yeah.
And welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. We're going to run down the show now at the end of the show.
Coming to the end.
And our useless...
Already clapping us out.
They are indeed. They're giving us the clap. Our useless gadget for this week is Twitter.
Oh, no.
No, not
and we know, Twitter. We know Jeffrey loves Twitter, so do I, so does D. We spend so much time on Twitter ourselves, you know.
I love bagging people out on Twitter.
I know.
What are you going to do about Twitter? What are you going to say?
Well, earlier this week, Wednesday night, they announced a new feature.
Yes.
And I use the word feature advisedly.
Right.
Because this helps users catch up. And let me read you from the press, from the email that I got, which announced this feature.
Mm.
A new timeline feature that helps users catch up on the best tweets from the accounts they follow, to never miss an important tweet again. So, Twitter is deciding which are the best tweets, not you, and Twitter is deciding which, for you, is an important tweet.
So, being a bit of a programmer, how do you think they're doing that?
Bug it if I know. I honestly...
predict what you think's important.
I'll give you
the question, isn't it?
I'll give you a simple way I think they'll do it, is engagement. If you tweet something and you get 10 replies and retweets on that one tweet, I bet you that everyone will get told that's an important tweet because it had a lot of engagement.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. If it's like me and I feel like I'm screaming in an empty room all the time, then I don't think anyone will see them.
But then again, you know, sort of a lot of people might think that a tweet, you know, might... pick up on a tweet about Kim Kardashian to take the discussion we were having earlier.
Oh, Gary, when you have a Kim Kardashian tweet show up in your timeline, I really need to know. And I think I'll know anyway because I'll see your tweets
and
about
quite
it.
Quite frankly,
I can't wait.
There is very little that I could think of that would be less important than something that a lot of other people think important. Kim Kardashian... anything to do with a reality TV show, anything like that, would be very popular, would have a lot of engagement, and would be totally irrelevant to me.
When Justin Bieber's in your timeline...
Oh, my God.
The only time he's in my timeline is when you play him on the show.
Oh, I can't wait.
There you go, mate.
There's still time.
You've been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. The Gadget Grill is lovingly crafted every week by such wonderful minds as...
Jeff Quattromani.
And...
You're here, Dee. You're here.
I was going to say Jason, but he's not here.
Okay, and you.
And me.
I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. We'll be back next week with the Gadget Grill. This is Brother Jack McDuff, Rock Candy. Enjoy.
Bye-bye. Bye.